I'm John Balaban. During the Vietnam War, I volunteered to go as a civilian conscientious objector. And my job was to bring war-injured children to the United States for treatment in hospitals. And then, when they were well or patched up as well as they might be, to bring them home to their families. This brought me way out into the countryside, and in the countryside, sometimes at a river crossing, I'd encounter a blind singer playing a six-string steel guitar and singing these ancient poems about princes and lost kings called Vyumkal, or a regret for things past. And then sometimes sitting out behind a house in the garden that Vietnamese keep behind their houses, Sao Hai, as they say, I would hear a woman, this woman's voice, singing a song out in the garden. Those songs belong to a tradition that's at least 1,000 and perhaps 2,000 years old called Kayao. Those songs and ballads, which is what Kayao means, were my preoccupation in 1971-72 when I returned to Vietnam. The war was still going on, but I had a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities to collect on tape oral folk poetry sung by Vietnamese. Quite simply, what I did was, with a tape recorder in my book bag, I would walk up to people and ask them to sing their favorite song. And to my surprise, they did. This went on for that whole year. I recorded this sung folk poetry in the Mekong Delta, in Hue, the old imperial capital, with a minority group connected to the Vietnamese in the Central Highlands, in some of the cities and towns all throughout South Vietnam. I taped these and was the first person to write them down in Vietnamese. Since they're in oral poetry, they hadn't appeared in books or in print before. And these are the poems that are on this little tape, and I thought I'd read some of these in the English translation. The first one is called Mother Egret. And of course, in the original, they don't have titles at all. I just put them on to help the reader get into the poem. Mother Egret. Egrets bear egret sons, mothers after shrimp, little ones at home. Mother Egret is flown far off to alight and be roped by brother eel. Nearby is a man in a bamboo keel, sliding through cattails to catch eel and fowl. Poling clumsily, he rams his prow. Brother eel dives, mother flies off. In the original, you can hear not just the 19-year-old farmer monk who sang the song, but you can hear some rifle fire, a mortar, and then a pagoda bell, because I was recording that night, I think it was October 1971, on Kung Fung Island, Phoenix Island, which is in the middle of the Mekong River. So the singers kept on singing. They simply ignored the battle going on across the river, but its noise got onto our tape. The next poem is a love lament. Stepping into the field, sadness fills my deep heart. Bundling rice sheaves, tears dart in two streaks. Who made me miss the ferries leaving? Who made this shallow creek that parts both sides? And again, it's the same singer. You can hear the pagoda bell in the background and some rifle fire. Nonetheless, he was singing in this love song. A woman's been left behind. She's stepping into the field, she's weeping, she's doing the things that she does every day of her life, and she's wondering as if the hand of fate had come between her and her lover. How did this creek spring up between us, and who made me miss this ferry that would have kept us together? Then the same man in the next song on the tape did something very surprising. He sang a poem which begins, hatred for ZM Americans will last 1,000 years. 7 years now of laying waste our southern land. So I must shoulder a gun and head for the fighting. Your fate is a girl's house, garden, and fields. Same singer. You can hear a mortar and a pagoda bell in the background. But I was shocked because he was risking everything by singing the song. By this time, I had recorded dozens and dozens from him, so maybe he began to think of me as a trustworthy person. But just that first line would have landed him in jail. Hatred for ZM Americans will last 1,000 years. So Kayao can be political as well. This one's overtly political. I never heard it sung again. And when I played it for singers in Hue, they really didn't think much of it. And I asked them, well, is it because of its politics? And they said, oh, no, we agree with the politics. It's just because they're so crude and obvious. Venturing out. Each evening, ducks paddle, egrets fly. Mr. Elephant snaps sugarcane, then strides into the forest. I'll follow to strip rattan for plates, fetching them home to make a sling for you to go peddling. Selling at no loss, why, that's a profit. Go on, have a look at the sun's face, at the moon's. You can tell that these are two little kids, and they're very shy. And you can also tell it's memorized. There's no melody holding this poem in the speaker's mind. And that's the way true Kayao, or the real live tradition, operates. The main memory device has to do with the melodies that the song is connected to. But I wanted to record little children. If I could only record, this would have been 71, 72 older people, that wouldn't be a good sign of health for the tradition. In fact, it may not be a good sign even with this memorized poem, because it's obviously a poem that these kids learned in school. As is the next one, a lullaby, which is full of proper sentiments. I think it was a little six-year-old boy who sang this one. Little one, go to sleep, sleep soundly. Mother's gone to market. Father plows the fields for rice and clothing. So the land yields a good home. Study hard, little one. Grow up to attend our native place. These mountains and rivers become worthy of our lack home race. So our parents' faces can widen in smiles. Lack home, it refers to the origins of the Vietnamese in a fairy spirit. Female fairy spirit from the mountains, and a great dragon that a male dragon that was her consort. The result being 100 eggs, the 100 people of Southeast Asia. But Lak Hom is also the name of a bird that flies south from the north along the length of Vietnam. Leaving the village. This was sung by a 12-year-old girl. I remember her vividly because she had a little brother, a little infant brother on one hip as she sang the song, also from the Mekong Delta. Even when cross planks are nailed down, bamboo bridges are shakily unsound, hard going, so push on home to tidal flats to catch crab, to the river for fish, to our sandy patch for melons. And then she went on to sing this song about the second wife. In Vietnam, it's possible to have several, perhaps even today, to have a vo le. It's a recognized status, but perhaps not as proper status as being the first wife. So she's singing, a breeze stirs banana leaves behind the house. You're crazy about your second wife and neglect our children. With children, well, with one on each arm, how should I draw the water or rinse the rice? The next one was sung by a woman. I think she's 78 years old. She was sewing on one of those old Singer pedal sewing machines right by the river, by the Mekong, when I came up to her. And the poem I've entitled The Red Cloth, because it refers to that mysterious bunting that's around the mirrors that are above Vietnamese altars in all the homes of all the Vietnamese, where they paint the names of ancestors on the frame, on the face of the mirror, or maybe slip their pictures into the side of the frame. But she has this wonderful beginning. Here it is. Sad, idle, I think of my dead mother. Her mouth chewing rice, her tongue removing fish bones. The red cloth drapes the mirror frame. Men of one country should love one another. So the red cloth and the mirror are a sign of heaven, the face of heaven, or Mat Choy in Vietnamese, that watches all our affairs, red being the color of faith and true heart. But the first part of the poem is a surprise. She's thinking of her mother and her infancy. I think of my dead mother, her mouth chewing rice, her tongue removing fish bones. This is the way infants are fed, mouth to mouth, as it were, in a country where there isn't Gerber or any kind of baby food. The next poem was called Riddle, and it's typical of those poems that have male and female replies, where one person teases the other in poetry and the other responds in poetry. It's untypical in that it's sung by, or not even sung, it's spoken by one person, Leitan Khan, who was quite old when I recorded him. He had been a mandarin in the last imperial court and a collector of Kayao himself. So the man says, "Your face is so pretty with makeup. How many big fellows can your boat take on?" And she answers, "This boat is long-sided, deep to bottom. Previously, it freighted your daddy's coffin." The Saigon River. This was sung by a 38-year-old monk who had been a Viet Cong soldier, but who had defected to become a Buddhist monk. And it also is a political poem, but it'd be hard for Westerners to catch the politics. Let me see if it works for you. "The Saigon River slides past the old market, its broad waters thick with silt. There the rice shoots gather a fragrance, the fragrance of my country home, recalling my mother home, stirring deep love." Vietnamese believe that they can smell the rivers that the rice has grown in, if it's a home river. In other words, the steam coming off a bowl of rice will have in it the scent of where they grew up. At the Exiled King's River Pavilion. This was sung by a man who had been a palanquin bearer, a sedan chair carrier, in the last imperial court. In fact, he had carried the scholar that who had spoken earlier on the tape. It's about a place along the Perfume River in Hue where the emperor would go to watch the moon rise above the river, a place called Phu Vinh Lao. It's a famous poem. It's sung all over Vietnam, as it refers to the time when the young emperor, Duy Tân, when he was 18 or 19 years of age, realized that he was only a puppet of the French and secretly escaped with his entire court of mandarins into the countryside, hiding out in the jungle for years. Vietnamese wondered where he was. Eventually, the French Sûreté captured him, and he was exiled. He was only one of several kings who were pursued this way. So the poem has a curious origin. It's actually a poem written by a literary person and slipped into the oral tradition, but it was so popular, it lives there. And is sung even today. "Evening, and all around the king's pavilion, people are sitting, fishing, sad and grieving, loving and loved, remembering, waiting, watching. Whose boat plies the river mist, offering so many river songs that move these mountains and rivers, our nation?" And this last poem is called "Talking About Birds." It was the very first poem I tried to translate, because it looked so much like what a poem was to my Western eye, at any rate. It's in two parts. The first part of 20-some lines is 8 syllables to every line. The 8th syllable at the end of a line will rhyme with the 4th syllable in the next line throughout. The 8th syllable is always the name of a kind of bird, and the 4th syllable in the next line, which it is linked to by rhyme, will be the name of some human trait. I tried to do this in English, which caused a huge amount of trouble. Just simply, I didn't know all the birds of Vietnam. And then the second part of the poem is almost free verse. I guess you could, well, that's how I translate it anyway. But in terms of melody, it is. It's something, it's a free-floating melody. It's what is technically called a cantillation, or singing without song. Listen here, all about birds and beasts. Sexy and alluring, that's the little moor hen. Manner offends, that's nasty cormorant. Slaves like an ant, yes, the traveling teal. Straining to overhear, drungos snoop in trees. Shaky in its knees, the skinny brown egret. Stays at home each night, its cowardly snipe. Hungry for their tripe, the pelicans carouse. Hungry by the house, there the darting larks. Pulling a shallow bark, peacock plies his art. Red crest, blue feathers, that's a jungle pheasant. Bickering unpleasant, the sneaky plover. Got a magic book of colors, the soothsayer hawk. Never married, never caught, that's wanderer grebe. Mate long since dead, the poor widow wed. Heart as thick as lead, that's the teasing jay. Eggs but won't lay, duck birds live that way. Sitting around talking about kinds of birds, offspring grow up and look for each other. See, the weaver is clever and wise. The owl nests only at the edge of the island. Watch, the magpies have brought some news. If they hover, then call. Our sisters are coming. But crows, really, are just like us, calling from far off. Wash up, the journey's over.